Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. Lord willing. I always try to throw that in, Lord willing, like Chris Woodward. He'll be back here in the captain's chair tomorrow. I'm joined by Wesley Wildman, Dr. Alex McFarland, and now Steve Jordahl. Jordahl joins us.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you, sir.
Ed.
What's
Paisley
that?
Paisley Jordahl.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Yeah.
You know, that really is Tim's thing.
Okay, that's fair.
I never really got into it, but Tim likes it, and now... Steve, you are Steve Paisley.
Okay, so you didn't forget. You were just showing respect for Dad. That's his thing.
It's his thing. And he's usually bringing us back. But now there are folks who, that's when they come to visit, they want to see Steve Paisley Jordahl.
I know. It's it's taken on a life of its own.
Yes. I tell you. Hey, be thankful. Steve Paisley Jordahl is a lot better than Eddie Spaghetti.
That took on I didn't know that.
Yeah, that took on a life of its own for
all right, hold on. Say that
huge
again.
Huge chunk of my life. Eddie Spaghetti with the meatball eyes.
Gee, I'm writing that down.
Put them in the oven and you get French fries. And that never made a lick of sense to me of how you get French fries out of the meatball eyes. Anyway, folks, if you want good radio, that wasn't it.
No, I told you.
But welcome to the program anyway.
We behaved the first hour, and I told you that as well as that first hour went, the second half, or the last half hour, I don't know. We may cut up a good
bit. We get a little loosey-goosey when Steve comes in because he does have some offbeat stories.
Usually.
But anyway, you do have a sad story. We're going to get to that in a second, but... let's start off with what you have at the top.
Yeah, I heard you guys were celebrating Good News Monday, and let me continue this. It's not completely good news because we don't have a resolution to this yet, but Donald Trump's nominees are for his cabinet are now on the Hill. They're talking to senators, and among them is Pete Hegseth. You may know as the former co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend, a highly decorated soldier. And somebody that Donald Trump is backing 100%. Well, there are those in the Democrat Party that really do not want to see him. He looks to cleanse the military of all woke stuff. That's one of the things he said he's going to do is going to be no more transgender soldiers.
right.
Anyway, so they're bringing their guns to bear, and there's been a whole lot of accusations of sexual impropriety, of drinking, of all this kind of stuff. Well, so Pete Hegseth was making his rounds on Capitol Hill to visit the senators, and he was stopped by a bunch of the media who wanted to ask him about all of this. And this is what he had to say. Cut four.
Oh, we've had great conversations about who I am and what I believe, and frankly, the man I am today because of my faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and my incredible wife, Jenny, right here. I'm a different man than I was years ago. And that's a redemption story that I think a lot of Americans appreciate. And I know from fellow vets that I've spent time with, they resonate with that as well. You fight, you go do tough things in tough places on behalf of your country. And sometimes that changes you a little bit. And by the grace of God and my Lord and Savior, I had an opportunity to come on up out of it and do great things with great veterans organizations that fought for vets, that fought for reform at the VA and for warfighters. And at the Fox News Channel, to advocate for those very same causes. And I'm proud of what I fought for. I'm not going to back down from them one bit. I will answer all of these senators' questions. But this will not be a process tried in the media. I don't answer to anyone in this group. None of you. Not to that camera at all. I answer to President Trump, who received 76 million votes on behalf and a mandate for change. I answer to the 100 senators who are part of this process and those in the committee. And I answer to my Lord and Savior and my wife and my family. I'm proud to be here. And as long as Donald Trump wants me in this fight, I'm going to be standing right here in this fight, fighting to bring our Pentagon back to what it needs to be.
I don't think that Marine is going to give up easily.
Yeah, and he did. It was a little bit longer clip. He did talk about the lethality of the military, and that was its main objective. Alex, I'll say this. I have no idea whether Pete Hegseth is going to be confirmed by the Senate, but that's a pretty good message.
In response to
Yeah.
The attacks that he's been taking on by the media.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good response and a direction to take in answering those charges. You know, I hadn't really thought about when these charges first came out about years ago, some of the things that he's been accused of doing.
And some of them are true.
Yeah, he's not denying that he came back from war and was not a good. I hadn't tied the wartime experience PTSD. To perhaps some of his actions, but that's I guess a legitimate way of trying to frame these issues and take responsibility for it and say, listen, I'm changed. I'm not that man.
Can I just clear something up? You're not saying his actions were legitimate.
No.
That there's an excuse for them.
Right. No, that's a good point. But I hadn't thought about the fact that I having never served in the military, never been combat, I don't know how that changes a person. And so Alex, as a Christian, he is saying I have a right to change.
Sure.
And I don't have to like what I was, but I'm presenting what I am.
Yeah, and isn't it refreshing to hear an unambiguous word from a leader and a public figure? You know, I think about totally different, but Karine Jean-Pierre, everything is just fluid, in the gray, ambiguous.
Yes.
You know, AOC and her word salads. Here is just crystal clear forthrightness. He said, look, there are things I'm not proud of, but I'm a changed person. And I loved it. I was like, yes. He was saying, look, I don't answer to you guys. I answer to my employer, my leader, and the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice? Forthrightness.
Yes.
And what did he call it? A redemption story?
Something
like that?
Yeah, he called it a redemption story. That's the language he used. He also mentioned that he thanked his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a result of the direct correlation to his changes.
Yes.
And also I want to add a little more context, because I was when this stuff was coming out, after day, I was one of those, okay, I got to take a step back because you're making this really hard for me to defend.
Yeah.
However, more context here just to add to and kind of support Pete Hegseth and all the allegations and all the things that he did 7 years ago. Okay, yes. So I just looked it up just to confirm. I read this the other day, but wanted to make sure I read that correctly. So everything, his redemption story started in 2018. We're in 2024 now, so that's 6+ years later.
Yeah.
And so now that doesn't mean somebody can't have a moral setback or make or above failure
as
or anything like as a Christian.
Right.
However, since he has professed to be a Christian and making change and being redeemed, he's 6 years removed from going on 7 years removed from the most harsh allegations and things that he had done, like committing adultery and things like that as well.
Right.
So
my drinking.
So my point would be that if this were to happen yesterday and he became a changed man yesterday, then you would like to see, if you're going to elect him in office, you'd like to see a little bit more of fruit. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You'd like to see a little
bit
more of some more evidence. But we're 7 years removed from this.
Yes.
And he got 7 years. There's nothing. Anything that he's been accused of that would be problematic for the Christian worldview, potentially, even though there's also a discussion to be had, can you do the job?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But both things are clear. For me personally, both things have cleared the air. It's a redemption story, and I personally think he's going to do a great job, too.
Well, and like I said, when I first made my first comment, I don't know whether he's going to be confirmed, but he is working hard to try to gain the trust of a sufficient number of senators. And when he said 50, he was talking about the likelihood of needing all 50 Republicans. Hopefully some Democrats will go bipartisan on some of these and make it not nearly so close. You never know. So he's got to have at least those 50. But anyway, it was a good news story because he does honor Jesus. And like you said, Wesley, it helps, apart from whether he can do the job, it helps me personally knowing that as far as we know, over the last 7 years, he has tried to live as a Christian.
There you go.
And has changed his life. Yep. Steve, anything else to add to that? Or
no, a lot of people on the Hill are willing to go to the mat for this guy.
Yeah,
I've heard people say that this is the hill to die on for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because they've already picked off Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
If they pick him off, then
Joni Ernst
is next. Whoever
I see.
They're just going to go one after the other picks and roll them up.
And that wouldn't be good for the Republican Party.
No.
And it's not good for the nation
to make it seem like
politics is trying to kneecap the guy coming in, especially with all the insecurity and chaos in the world. So, All right. Now we got to get to a very serious story. So, folks, we do want to give a parental warning on this story. This is an egregious and evil act we're going to discuss. So if you have little ones, you may want to tune down the radio for the next few minutes before we move on. But go ahead, Steve, with this very sad story.
Last week on Wednesday, a gentleman named Glenn Litton walked into a kindergarten, an elementary school in Oroville, California. Oroville is about like 60 miles north of Sacramento in the Central Valley. And told them he wanted to enroll a child in their school. They took him on a tour of the school, walked him out to the parking lot. And as he was walking out to the parking lot, he took a left-hand turn, drew a gun out of his jacket, and shot two kindergarten students. Roman Mendez, who was 6, and Elias Wolford, who was 5. This is what he said. Statement that he made, this is the reading from his writings, will tell you that there are some mental issues with this guy. By the way, he turned the gun on himself immediately thereafter and ended his own life. This is what he wrote. Countermeasures involving child executions has now been imposed at the Seventh-day Adventist School in California, United States, by the International Alliance. Lieutenant Glenn Litton of the Alliance carried out the countermeasures in necessitated response to America's involvement in genocide and the oppression of Palestinians, along with attacks towards Yemen. So a little convoluted state, some mental issues there. But you have heard nothing about this. Did you even know about this, Alex? Had you even heard about this?
I had not heard about this story. Well, no, I did hear about two children getting killed, but I didn't make the connection till just now.
They were not killed. They are
in critical condition right now.
And improving, actually. I just read this morning that they're improving.
Well, praise God.
And why? Because it's a Christian school that's targeted, and they're all white individuals. That's my take on why you haven't heard a thing about it.
Well, now, it is on some of the local news, ABC 7 Los Angeles, local CBS News. You're talking about the national news.
I mean, school shootings get a lot of play. We stop presses when you hear of a school shooting.
Especially if it's a conservative. If it's a conservative.
That's doing the shooting,
you're going to hear about it. Alex, let me just say this. Let me just ask you this one thing, and then we'll move on, because this is just... Like I said, this is just a heartbreaking story. Thank the Lord that these children are improving.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even though this gentleman was certainly mentally ill, there is an element of evil here that as a increasingly secularized society, we still seem unwilling to mention.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual evil. It's not just in the mind. This is a spiritual thing that afflicts the heart as well, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, I don't like it when they excuse it completely to mental illness because, look, he said he was checking out this school for a fictitious grandson. I mean, he was scheming and he was planning. Do you know when I've been on a number of shows in the aftermath of these school shootings, and I was on a show, I think it was with Geraldo Rivera some years ago, in the aftermath of one of the school shootings. I'm sad to say I don't even remember which one. And Geraldo Rivera said, well, this person was insane. And I said, you know, I disagree. I mean, killers very often are coldly logical. And I think we need to not only be a country that talks about there are objective moral truths and people are to be held accountable for their actions, but violence and murder is not, I mean, it can be mental illness, but it can also be just the fact that we have a propensity for sin and wickedness. And many people perpetrate wicked, evil deeds, not because they're crazy, but they're fallen, they're sinful. The Bible uses terms like reprobate, and they know the right, but they choose to do the wrong. I think we need to talk about human nature and human capacity for overt evil.
The reason, Alex, I could not agree with you more, and I've been concerned about this, but I haven't really thought through it and articulate it in a long extent, so I'll try to be careful here because I don't want to dismiss those that do have some form of schizophrenia or that. However, I do believe, Alex, being careful here, is that we have as a society over the last couple of years, last decade, have gone really quick to the word mental illness to define whatever somebody's doing that's wrong. And then when you go to mental illness, again, you save me here if I go too far. If you go there too quickly without considering what you just said, Alex, then you find yourself getting half of America being sympathetic because they couldn't help it.
Yes.
Do you see the problem here?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why I think that Mayor Adams, while I appreciate there are some things that he said recently from New York, the mayor, I do think that there are some things that I'm grateful for that were helpful for our side. However, I believe a lot of it's been disingenuous because he goes straight to mental illness for other things as well. And I believe that's setting the stage for they can't help it.
Yeah.
When I think, like Alex said, in many cases, it's premeditated.
If you're going to reject God and the Bible as the foundation of your culture, you have to go with a materialistic explanation for everything.
And
mental illness is the materialistic explanation. I'm in agreement. I think we're all in agreement here. If somebody's howling at the moon, okay, dressed in only their slippers and hair curlers, okay, that's, you could be talking about some serious mental illness there. Mm-hmm. Nervous breakdown, whatever we used to call it when I was growing up. Oh, the poor person had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's real, and I'm not mocking that. I'm saying we did dump an awful lot into that basket.
The last five years or so.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about even when I was growing up.
Oh, okay.
We would throw everything into that basket.
Oh, I'm checking with you.
It was a nervous breakdown.
Well, it's been switched now. It's mental illness.
Yeah, and so now what you have is what is actually mental illness, like you mentioned, schizophrenia, bipolar, whatever now, where people are hearing voices, some of that may be demonic. I don't know. And if you're gonna jettison a biblical worldview, you're gonna misidentify what's underneath a lot of this. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. Do you know in mental health literature there is increasingly, and I'm talking about the highest levels of serious scholarship, not Christian necessarily, but psychiatrists talk about demon possession. And I've read journal articles, guys, where they'll say, you know, there is a spiritual component. We have no other explanation. And they're not necessarily affirming the reality of the supernatural, but they're saying, look, there's no other explanation other than the demonic. And so, you know, we don't want to be, morbidly interested in this kind of stuff. But it is a world of objective good and objective evil. And, you know, remember the Covenant Christian School shooting? There was Aidan Hale, who was a 28-year-old transgender.
Yes.
And I was on a show with that, and somebody was like, well, this poor soul was, you know, mentally ill. No, they were very rational.
Yes.
I mean, it was planned to the nth degree. And let's just be honest. We human beings, valuable, made in God's image, but yet humans have a sin nature, and only through the redemptive act of Jesus Christ can we be forgiven of sin and really put on the pathway toward righteousness.
Yeah.
And so we're a country, and maybe the 22% uptick in Bible sales portends a return to rationality, but we need our not only parents, pastors, and leaders, but educators and everybody, we need to say, look, sin exists, and we need to be delivered from it.
All right, Wesley, AFA is trying to help the church develop a Christian worldview. How are we doing that?
We
do it on all our aspects, but there's something in particular that we're encouraging people to take a look at.
Activate Summit 2025, Activate Summit 2025. You can go to activate.afa.net, activate.afa.net. Coming up this summer, this upcoming summer, 2025, June 12th through the 14th, we're having our annual conference. We previously had done Marriage Family Life Conference. We took a year off. We're coming back with an Activate Summit 2025. And the subtitle is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And we'll have several of our show hosts and others outside that will participate in that. And your families included will have classes that will be simultaneous with the, as we have done with Marriage, Family, Life, as the adults are having their conference, the children will be having a conference similar that fits their age of learning. And so really looking forward to that. You can go to afa.net to find out more about that.
All right, we're running out of time, Steve.
Let me just say this. Donald Trump may have been spending too much time with Elon Musk. You know how Elon Musk, everything he does, he sees something, he goes, he's got rockets, he's got tunnels, he's got electric cars, he's got PayPal, he's got like a dozen things, a variety of things he's done. He's going to be starting a school.
He's got X.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump, now we find out, has released a new perfume and cologne. This is real, folks.
This is real.
Not
this
Babylon B.
No.
Okay.
It's called Fight, Fight, Fight.
I'm fact-checking you right now.
I don't know what it smells like, but he says that it's called Fight, Fight, Fight because they represent winning, and he put out a picture of him at Notre Dame, the reopening of the cathedral, sitting next to Dr. Jill Biden, who's smiling at him, and the tagline on the commercial goes, "A fragrance your enemies can't resist."
Huh. Listen.
Perfume or not cologne, right?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
I got you.
Listen, that's going to be, if that's a real thing, and you're saying this is real.
I'm saying
okay,
it is.
Okay, it's real.
It's real. That's just genius. I'm just going to say, Donald Trump continues to kill it. I mean, just by all these ideas, and that might have been Elon Musk's idea to the point you were making. Now, I'm sure he's not going to be able to use Jill Biden's picture on the bottle of cologne or perfume, but that was sheer genius using that picture and saying a fragrance your enemies can't resist, because she sure enough was smiling at him.
She's a public figure.
Listen, I don't know how much the cologne costs, but if it's not too expensive.
For $200 for women.
Oh.
$200.
It's probably going to be too much
for
me.
Maybe a big bottle.
Yeah.
Maybe a year's worth. And then you just start adding it up.
Yeah. No, no one in my household's worth that.
Yeah.
But, anyway, folks, Alex, thank you, brother. And
God bless you.
Folks, thank you for listening. More great programming directly ahead. You're listening to American Family Radio.